Well, tonight we've got a topic which is not often preached in the pulpit. It's called The Great Danger of Superstition and Occultism. One reason I would like to do it tonight is because, young people, you can save you a lot of trouble if you know a little bit about it. Because it is amazing how many people have been involved in it already in their young age and had tremendous bad repercussions. It's for all of us, Christians or non-Christians. It's so good to know about it. My big struggle tonight is time, as always. It's a huge topic, but I really want to concise it. I want to just give you an extract of it, and you will be amazed how many people have been gripped by the results, the consequences of these superstition and occultism. My parents, actually, they've been involved themselves. I know a lot about it. I know what is going on. I've heard so much here in Europe, but also in Africa. I have seen things. If I told you, you would not believe me. But let's read 2 Kings 17 from verse 33 to 35. I read, "They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day, they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances or the law and commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, 'You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them.'" The very first reaction you probably have is, "This doesn't refer to me. I never was involved in these things." If this is your thinking, I strongly recommend listen really carefully, because maybe you have been involved into it and you don't even know it, or you weren't aware of it. And if you really didn't, praise God, but then it's really good to know, in order that you can point these things out to other people and actually help them and warn them of it. The children of Israel feared the Lord. You see, they feared the Lord God Almighty, yet served their own gods. What does that mean? Let's start at the very beginning. Most people live as God wouldn't exist. That's today's living. That doesn't mean they don't believe that God exists. We read the Israelites feared God but didn't serve him. I mean, I wonder how many fear God in here and don't serve him. They served other gods. Then people get into trouble and they ignore the word of God because they don't serve God, which says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." They don't want God to help them. They may believe in him, but they have nothing to do with God. They say, "Thanks, I don't need your help. I can do it myself. I can take care of myself. I will solve my problems in life." Then things get tougher. Financial crisis may kick in. But God, of course, hasn't got a clue about finance. They think marriage problems come up. But what does God know about marriage? He hasn't been married himself anyway. He hasn't a clue. And he certainly doesn't know how complicated women are. No, that is just a joke. I take that back. Job problems come up, but you think, well, what does God know about accountants, a computer, you know? He was a carpenter. They don't turn to God. You may not turn to God. The basic thinking of man is he plainly doesn't believe God loves them and knows all about them and knows what is best for them. They don't believe that. And if you are in that category, then listen very carefully. That's why the world is in such a mess. Because they rejected the help of God, the one who had only good intention for you personally. And now it's getting very dangerous. Because they have refused God, to refuse him to help you, due to unbelief, you are looking around for other methods and other solutions which you need in your life, because you need to solve your problems. They say, "How can I get luck in life?" Then they put a lucky charm on themselves, they wear it to protect yourself. Before you build a house, you put a so-called heaven's ladder into the cornerstone, in the foundation, in order that your house will be protected. Others, they put an amulet into it in order to protect themselves from lightnings. And all these things, it goes on and on the list here. And many people get depressed and become suicidal, and they don't even know what was the root of it. All these different superstitious acts are the ticket to hell. Now you may think, oh David, you definitely exaggerate here. But I tell you why. Things like fortune telling of any sort, or palm reading, tarot cards, tea leaves, etc. They may give you false peace in the flesh, yes, but bind your soul. There was once a man who died in his 90s. And he had the blessing, you would have thought, a very healthy life. He was never really sick. And everybody thought, wow, God blessed him really with good health. Up into his 90s. And then he died. And then they discovered he always wore this amulet. And they actually opened that amulet and there was a crumpled piece of paper in there. And they read what was on there. And it said this: Satan, this soul belongs to you with the condition that you don't touch his body. You see, there are many such different statements which must be taken very, very serious. You don't notice anything outwardly, but inwardly, you bind your soul and you even don't know it. And I've met many people. If you have been with a magic healer like acupuncture, which scientifically has nothing to do with medicine, then you are in big danger. This has been practiced already 3,000 years before Christ. It originated in China and its source is spiritism. If you have been with a magnet healer or any kind of herb healer, then you may physically be healed. Yes, I believe it. But your soul is bound and captivated. This is called idolatry. Jesus only can make you free from it. You know, it's not just a god out of stone or a Buddha. That is obvious idolatry. But all these things fall into that category, idolatry. We'll find it out a bit later. However, I need to say, obviously, natural herbs without the spiritual side behind it is very good because God gave us herbs. But it's what has been done to the herbs before you take it. This is the dangerous part. I'll tell you now why it is idolatry. In the very moment you accept one of these mentioned things, you accept the one who stands behind it. It's like when you install a computer program. You put the CD in and you install all that thing, and then you've got to click a button called "I accept all terms and conditions." And who of you reads all that? Nobody. It's a huge, big page or pages in very small print. You don't read it. However, if you go against what it says in those terms, they can actually prosecute you legally. So you have bound yourself. You agreed to it. But ignorance doesn't change the conditions. This is it. If you're ignoring or if you don't know about it, it doesn't change it. You may say, oh, I don't want all that. I just want the good bits, the healing parts. The rest, I don't care. But the thing is, you can't pick and choose. It's either all or nothing. Now listen, what the word submission means, because you submit yourself, it's a submit button which you press. And after you have pressed that button, you have submitted to everything what they said. You said, yes, I agree. Now, the word submission in the English dictionary says this: submission is a state in which people can no longer do what they want to do because they are under the control of someone else. It couldn't be clearer. If you submit yourself to these things, you have submitted to the devil and he has got the legal right in certain areas over you because you've submitted. And in that area, you have actually bowed down before him and accepted him as God. You have accepted him as your help, as your protection, and you have submitted. Now, this is called idolatry. Idolatry is an abomination in God's eyes. Now, every contract you have ignorantly signed with the devil, you agree to all conditions. One condition is in every contract the very same thing. It may vary in weight or consequences, but has one major goal. And the goal is to keep you away from God and destroy the relationship you have with God. This is what the devil wants. Nothing else. Everything else, he does not care. He would love to give you good health if you wear an amulet like that man. He does not care about the earthly things. He knows it's just for a time. Eternity, that's what he cares. If you do these things, you may fear God, but you look to other gods to help you. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. God calls that idolatry, which is serving the devil, nothing else. The Bible is very, very strong on that. And you know, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee. This is a big, big no-no. Flee from it. I mentioned just quickly, homeopathy is actually a German doctor, Samuel Hahnemann. He was the founder of homeopathy, and he believed he received the knowledge from heavenly powers, and it was by revelation. And one of the prominent homeopaths declared that only 3% are actually based on natural medicine, and everything else has nothing to do with natural medicine. There were two elderly devoted Christian women who had great difficulties in their prayer lives. Apparently, they took a medicine and nothing happened. And then they took the very same medicine, again given by a homeopath, and they instantly were healed. And then they had this big problem of they could not concentrate to pray. They could not pray. And then they sought help, and a Christian pointed out, you need to repent that you have taken this homeopathic medicine. And the very moment they repented of it, they could pray again. And what was amazing is they took the medicine before without the homeopathic part, and then the very same thing again with the homeopathic part. And it worked. It's obvious. There's something else behind it. You see, it's not necessarily the homeopathic medicine, but rather the spirit behind it, the pendulum which will go above it first, or the sayings, or whatever they do. It's very, very dangerous. Now, how can you recognize your soul has been affected? There are a few different signs which can give you hints. For example, one is some people, they're afraid to be in the dark, and there's no explanation why. They're just afraid. Some are suicidal. There was actually once a newspaper article which said, danger of suicide, beware of horoscopes, pastors confirm dependency of horoscopes leads to fears, deficiency of life joy, depression, and even suicide. And nearly always when you ask people, think once, have you ever been involved in occultism or superstition? They say no. The first wrong reaction is no, I am not a superstitious person. And then if you dig a bit deeper, the second wrong reaction comes, and they say, oh, well, that was maybe 20 years ago. But you know what? If you killed somebody 20 years ago, is it called a murder? Is it called a murder? If you killed somebody 20 years ago, are you a murderer? Of course you are. If you killed somebody 20 days ago, are you a murderer? You are murdered in both cases, so time doesn't matter. If you were involved 20 or 20 days ago, it does not matter. Because you gave legal ground. Time doesn't count in the spiritual world. What we did, that's it. And these things don't lose any substance over the years. But praise God, Jesus can make free. And I've seen that too. Now you may say, I once participated playing with the Ouija board, you know, but it was just for fun, nothing else. It wasn't serious. Sit once, just for fun, into a boiling hot saucepan and see what happens. Your bum will get burnt and your tongue is yelling. This is the result. If you touch the power line by accident, for fun or not fun, the consequence is death. You're instantly dead. There was once a dear Christian woman who could read the Bible maximum for 1 minute. All other books were okay. She could read it for hours. But the Bible, maximum 1 minute. And obviously she was concerned, because if you can't read the Bible, then eventually your relationship to God becomes weaker and weaker. And this is exactly what the devil wants. Now, two other Christians, lady, have helped her out, and they digged a bit, and they said, what happened then? When did that start? And she said, actually, I remember there was once something happening where I was drawn to make contact with the other world. And I knew inside I should stop it. She even said she could remember how the Lord told her, stop, it will harm you. But she overheard it and she continued. And then from that moment on, it kicked in and she could not read anymore the Bible. You see, we do need to take the word of God serious. It's not in here for nothing. If you prayed to the saints like the Catholics, then the Bible says you do pray to demons. Beware of contacting the other world. In no way. Why? Because the Bible says so. We only should speak to God and nobody else. If you pray to Virgin Mary, then what do? You've committed adultery. Because the Bible says very clearly, do not worship anyone else than God himself. If a person gets immediately tired when you talk about spiritual things, then you can be most sure something is not right. Your alarm bells should ring loud. I've experienced it. You would not believe it. A lady, she was in our lounge, I was in Derbyshire. As soon as we switched to spiritual conversation, she fell asleep. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Just in front of your eyes. I mean, this is something behind it. And then we found out she was involved in spiritualism. You see, you need to get the whole gist here. The one who is behind it, what intention has he got? To draw you away from God. You know, this has nothing to do if the preacher is boring. That's a different kettle of fish, you know. But I just want to mention a few other things which are an abomination to God. It may not appear so at first sight, but if you study the roots, then you will see that it is right. Crystal ball reading, psychic abilities, if you have the ability to astral project, participation in seances, hearing voices or seeing into the spirit realm continually, then yoga. You know, yoga, basically you open your mind and you try to blanket your mind in order to open yourself. And if you read the Bible, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be clear-minded and alert. Because if you are not like that, then you open yourself to anything. Because then he goes on, your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Hypnosis, meditation of any sort that blanks the mind, like New Age, Freemasonry, participation in Halloween, abortion, which is really human sacrifice to the God of self, and always followed with incredible guilt feelings, but then aromatherapy, foot reflex, crystals and stones that supposedly have all the powers, horoscopes, and even the mild forms of superstition like fingers crossed, touch wood or knock wood, such things. I mean, I could go on, the list is endless. Some things may sound ridiculous to you, but do your homework and you will be convinced that this is true. Now, some people tell me, but it works! And I reply, of course it works! If something works, that doesn't mean it's right. If a thief comes and put a gun next to your temple and say, give me all your money, do you think it will work? Of course it works. You say, oh yes, I give you anything what I have. Just leave me. I want to live. Don't kill me, please. It works. Does that justify his action? No. I read once in a Faith Mission magazine, actually a few years ago, an interesting article, and I just quickly read it to you. A woman called Penny Brown had an awful childhood and ended up in a real mess. Penny had a terrible chronic backache and pushed God out of her life. Instead, she looked for help with a man who used crystals. The pain was relieved and disappeared. She thought that must be the right thing because it worked. Her life became more and more miserable. Her mental state became worse and worse. Hear her own words. My involvement in Scientology and New Age practices also gave the devil a hold over my thought processes. My memory and ability to think straight were both spoiled. Satan wants his victims to think no thoughts other than the ones he put into their brains. He had me literally brainwashed. And later on, God spoke to her and finally experienced a clear conversion. In that very moment, she gave her life to Christ. The chronic backache, which had disappeared after crystal therapy, returned with vengeance. The devil's power was broken. Later on, Jesus touched her with the real healing power and took away her backache forever. God healed her body, saved her soul, and re-established her spirit. And Penny was a happy person and forsook all her New Age business. You see, the devil only gives you something like healing or in your body or whatever when he can bind your soul. Because this is what he's interested in, your soul. The whole thing is only about your soul. This is the big fight and battle here in this world. Your soul. And in the Western world, the devil doesn't appear like a roaring lion, but rather as an angel of light, hidden, and you can't see it. He attacks you through these things I read to you, and people don't even know about it. It appears harmless, but it is very, very strong and powerful, and it works. Some people look for help directly from the devil. I don't want to go into that because it's obvious. If you had been into it, you would know, because it's a conscious act, like the Beatles. They signed away their own soul to the devil in order to have a successful career, but they knew this is the deal. They receive a successful career and will be thrown into hell. They knew that. I don't know how they could agree to something like that, but this is open. Maybe you say, praise God that I've never used the pendulum or the divining rod or whatever. But tell me, what do you think of somebody who says, praise God, I never had cancer. And then the next day he drops dead with a heart attack. Well, this is the very same thing, really. Praise God, I didn't use the pendulum or the divining rod, but your lies, your pride, your rebellion against God, or your sins separate yourself from Him. This is the same thing. If you're separated by whatever, idolatry or sin, you're still separated. Listen what 1 Samuel 15:23 says. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The same thing. If you stubbornly turn your back to God and rebelliously reject Him, you literally commit the same weight of sin as superstition and occultism. That's how heavy sin is in God's eyes. Now, the Bible mentions many different sins in Galatians 5. In verse 21, it says, idolatry and witchcraft is mentioned. And then it says clearly that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what do you need to do? If you were involved in one of these things, what do you need to do? Well, the first thing is, you need to recognize you have sinned against God. You have stepped over the borders. And secondly, you honestly need to be sorry and ask Jesus to forgive you. And this is basically to repent that you have worshipped and accepted other gods beside the true God. The third thing is, you need to take the power of God into your life, saying, in the name of Jesus, I cut myself off from whatever you did, yoga or acupuncture, whatever, and I renounce it, I break it, I break the power of the devil in any form over me. And you know what? God will deliver you instantly if you do that. Praise God for this. Because it says, this, when the Son makes free, then you are free indeed. And praise God that Jesus can free you even tonight if you have been dabbling into it. And I want to read for the end here what people did 2,000 years ago after they have heard and how their response was. It was like this, Acts 19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And that's my strong advice. Everything what is got to do with darkness, burn it and turn to God. Praise God. Now, I am very happy that I took my two friends with me, and I asked Alan if he could just share a little bit of his experience, because I thought that is just very powerful to actually hear not just the theory, but also of somebody who has been involved into it. Please come forward and just stand here in front of the mic. Thank you very much, Alan.
Well, David asked me if I'd just share this with you, and it's the first time I've ever stood up and spoke like this to so many people. I might have done just one or two, but so this is a bit nerve-wracking to me, but I think it's very important that I should just share it. It was when I was about 27 years old, working in the building trade, and I was introduced to this Ouija board thing. For those who don't really know what that's all about, it's a case of got all these letters around and, you know, you can have a glass or whatever and put your finger on it and it will spell out things that's not very good, really. I thought that was fun at the time, but I can assure you it isn't. And anyway, it was spelling out all different names of things and going into things of the afterlife. And I thought, well, this is really fantastic. And anyway, I really got drawn into that. Anyway, after a short time, I just felt I was feeling very unwell. Most weird sort of thing. Every day at the same time, I became very, very ill and confused. And this went on for a long, long while. But the thing was, I still kept messing about with this occult thing. And anyway, what happened was, after I suppose a few years, I got so I couldn't even work. I was so poorly. I could hardly stand on my feet. I just come very, very ill, couldn't do anything. One day I'd reached sort of my limit of life. I just couldn't stand it any longer. The confusion and everything what was going on in my head, I just said, cried out, well, if there's a God, help me. I wasn't a Christian. I never went to church, didn't do anything, but I just shouted out to God, please God, if you are real, help me. And he did, instantly. My life changed, well, within a split second. I just felt all this peace come in. All the problems I had all just went, and I was a different person. I can't express any, you know, more deeply how wonderful that was, because I'd been set free. But the thing was, I didn't really know fully what had happened. I just cried out to God, and he was there. And praise the Lord for that. But it was some time after that, in actual fact, I met my wife who's sitting here now, and she was a Christian, and I shared a lot of things with her. Anyway, she said, well, you must ask Jesus into your life, and which I did. I said, Jesus, come into my life, and, well, here I am now. If I hadn't have been for all that, I certainly wouldn't be telling you this now. So Jesus has been absolutely marvellous to me, and I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, it's been a fantastic experience. I've walked with Jesus for a lot of years now. It's been terrific. So I would just say that if you have any temptations, you younger people, anything like that, whatever it might be, it could be drugs or anything, please don't go down that road. Don't get involved, you know, at all. Just stay well clear of it all, and as I said, just hold Jesus to your heart, because that is the only thing that's going to keep you free from all this other stuff what's out there. Anyway,
thank you very much.
I don't think I can really say any more, David.
Thank you very much.
You know, bless you.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah. That's great. You see, he was drawn into it just out of fun. You know, well, you want to participate. You want to be in. But even if you did only once, you already are a victim of it. It's very, very, very dangerous. And the Ouija board is basically this board in front of you. You say, is there anyone there? And then you start asking questions. And then literally the demons, what actually happens, they put these letters together and answer you. That's all what it is. But this is, it's dangerous stuff. All of these kind of things. Now, I'm aware I've gone well ahead here tonight over time. Sorry about that. That's very unusual for me, actually, if you believe it or not. I usually stick to the time. If you have any questions, please come to us and ask. Or if you're not sure of anything, please come to us and ask. Don't feel, I don't know. We are open. We don't bite your head off. So it's always good to express yourself if you want to. Let's just pray. We leave final song out because of time. I just pray and we call it as a day. Thank you, Lord, very much for what we have heard. And we do pray, Lord, that you would protect all of us, that you would come with us. And Lord, even especially those maybe you have been spoken to or those who have been dabbling into it, Lord, we pray that they would experience peace of mind even tonight and be delivered from anything. And maybe those who question the whole thing and maybe even don't believe it, Lord, we pray that you will just minister into their minds and hearts even tonight. Amen. Thank you.